Give him a big God bless you this morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm from New York, but I'm going to say it anyway. How y'all doing? Great. Did y'all bring any lunch? I didn't see no yeses. You know, I used to teach Sunday school in a church years ago. When I asked the question, I said, this is yes and this is no. Anyway. Thank you so much for having me. This is truly a blessing. And with the First Lady Amber and then the worship today, and thank you so much. Let's give them a hand, everybody. I feel like we've worshiped already. Who wants to go home? But I'm going to share a few things that happened in my life, and a lot of it isn't pleasant, but you know something? God can take something bad, and he can make it good. He can make it good. So anyway, turn in your Bibles if you haven't, or your smartphone, or your dumb phone, or I have a smartphone, but it's a dumb phone for me. If it wasn't my son, I don't know what I'd do. Now I'm just going to read two verses here, Psalms 9, verses 13 and 14. Have mercy on me, O Lord. Consider my trouble from those who hate me. You who lift me up from the gates of death, that I may tell of your praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion, I will rejoice of your salvation. How many of you rejoice for your salvation this morning? How many of you have been close to hell in your life? Yes, yes. And then I'm going to read this, Colossians 1:21, and this is my main theme for my message. Colossians 1:21. And you, who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has been reconciled. Reconciliation is a beautiful word. You know, I was a dropout of high school, went back to for my GED, went to college. But, you know, when I was first saved, my wife and I would be sitting in church. We had a preacher that used these long, well, maybe, words. And I'd lean over her and say, what did you say? But thank the Lord, as we grow, he gives us what we need, doesn't he? He's a good God all the time. I love sharing what God has done in my life. There was a time when I didn't because I was ashamed. Okay? Yes, I was ashamed. But you know, this is what God does. At least this is the way he did it with me in my life. He took me through stages of healing. Okay? With everything that I went through in my life, God would take me from here to here, and from here to there, and I'd receive healing from my past. A little bit at a time, because otherwise I think it would have been overwhelming. And where a psalm said, those who hate me, oh my goodness. You know, when I was doing drugs, I used to be a drug dealer in Syracuse, New York. That's where I'm from. And I'd make enough money, I'd walk into a bar, just set them up. I had a lot of friends. But you know, when I gave my heart to the Lord, guess who come to see me? Zero. Someone told me, my best friend told me, you took the easy way out, But I'm going to tell you what, this is the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. It's hard. Because sometimes, don't we want to shrink back and kind of just melt into the crowd? Yes. But then we've got to keep our witness, don't we? My life used to be a tangled life until I met the Lord. And before there was a Lord, I was a very dark, miserable person. Very dark. I didn't like nobody. I mean nobody, except my drinking buddies, my drug buddies. And I couldn't even trust them. But now one reason for that is because I had a mother that absolutely hated me, and the feeling was pretty much the same. We had a relationship that mother and son, or daughter or father, whatever, should never have. She used to tell me that she hated me. She treated me very differently. I had two brothers and one sister. One brother's in heaven, thank God. He used to tell me that she hated me. And I got spankings frequently, which turned into belts, which turned into fists for my father, for my stepfather. So in some of that was my own fault, because I was rebellious. But I remember the very first time I drank. I was 5 years old. I remember it in my mind's eye like it was yesterday. 5 years old. My parents had a New Year's Eve party. I was down in my pajamas in the living room, and these people gave me these little drinks. Used to call them screwdrivers. I don't know what they call them today. Thank God. I don't know. And I would get sick and I would puke, but guess what? They laughed. Do you know what I found out? That's how I found acceptance. That's how I found acceptance. Hello? There you are. Here I am. I'm like Tigger. I'm not lost. I'm right here. Amen. We have a child at heart. So anyway, I was told several times by my mother that if abortion would have been law, I would not be here. I would not be here. And she meant it. But turning your Bible, oh, hello, how are you? Turning to your Bible, which one's working? Okay. Handheld to Jeremiah 1:5. Jeremiah 1:5. And I used to struggle with this. How many of you have been through a hard life and wondered, why was I ever born? Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you and I ordained you a prophet to the nations. And then over the Psalms, 139, many of you know where I'm going. Amen, it's right. 139, I know it's in here. And I'll have to tell you a story about that soon. 139, starting at verse 13. For you have formed my inward parts. You have covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works that my soul knows very well.
So any of you who thinks I am a mistake, you are not a mistake. You are right where God wants you to be. Believe me, I know what it feels like to be a mistake. So I got to the point drinking that when I was in middle school, I would take vodka in a thermos and drink. Much of the time I was wasted. Nurses would look at my body as I was severely abused by my parents. And they never asked me where the welts came from. Never spilled the booze on my breath. But it just so happened that I knew if I told her where my welts came from, I would get it much worse when I got home. My life dramatically changed when I was 12 years old. How many of you remember 12 years old? Pleasant time? Good time? Wasn't for me. In fact, I remember very few Christmases in my past. Very few. When I was 12 years old, I was working in a diner. My mother was a waitress there. And she talked the owner to let me wash dishes. I was pretty short then. I had to use a stool to wash dishes. And I was about my wife's size. See what she did to me? But it took her 42 years to do it, hallelujah. Fun. And this one day I was washing dishes and my mother come got me and said, I want you to go home with this guy. He's going to pay you to clean his apartment. Well, apartment never got cleaned. He was a pedophile, which I didn't even know what a pedophile was back then. I don't even know if it was a word back then. That was a long time ago. But that really, really changed my life because I went from abuse to abuse. When I was 15, I left home. My stepfather said that if you don't like my rules, you can leave. I left. I was homeless, slept under bridges, ate out of trash cans, doing whatever I could. Trying to watch the time here. Doing whatever I could to just have a place to sleep and food to eat. But one night, you know, being from Syracuse, New York in the wintertime, it gets cold. And I got so cold one night, I walked into a bar. I was 16 years old then, and guess what? Just happened to be a gay bar. Go figure. And so I prostituted my body for food to eat, a place to sleep. They'll give me all the booze I wanted, all the drugs I wanted. Naturally, they got what they wanted. And so that was my life for a while. And with the drinking and the drugs, all I wanted to do was block out my pain in my mind. Just block it all out. But you know, that was hard to do. That is very hard to do. Well, how many of you have ever heard of Job Corps? Okay, my mother said I was a juvenile delinquent. Come on, give me a break. This sweet guy? But you know, this is what people at the nurses at the hospital have said before. You wasn't really that guy. And I always say, I was the guy that your mama warned you about. I was not a nice person, not at all. So she sent me to the Job Corps. I was in Curlew, Washington for 1 year, and then San Marcos, Texas for 6 months. And guess what? I loved it. We had rules we had to follow. It was a boot camp situation. But guess what? I got raped in Job Corps. I mean, here I am, just a scrawny kid. If I would have stood in front of a telephone pole, you wouldn't have seen me. So that really discouraged me. I finally got out, come home, and started my drinking drugs all over again. Didn't know a thing about the Lord. I'd never read a Bible till the day I got saved. We had one at home on the coffee table, but there's about that much dust on it. So I got home, and I really rebelled, big time. When I was in junior high school, I had some teachers that were not good to me at all. In fact, one of them said to me one day, "Gary, there's a car accident out there, and the wires are on the ground. Why don't you go out there and pick them up?" Well, guess what I did? I got drunk one night, really drunk, in my favorite bar. And I went to use the bathroom. All I can figure out is that someone put something in my drink. And I went crazy, absolutely crazy. I went to that middle school, and I tore it up. Put my fist through the principal's plate glass window. Good thing he wasn't in there. And guess what? Guess what? I still see this in my mind. I tried to burn the place down. Kept on trying to light things. It would not burn. Go figure. Was God in that? I think so. I don't think I would have gotten off so easy. Anyway, I didn't live far from that school, and the police followed drops of blood to the house where I lived. My stepfather woke me up, and by the way, I don't even like to use the word step, because either you are or you aren't in there. He woke me up the next morning. He said, "What'd you do last night?" And I had no idea. I said, "I don't know." But I looked, and around here, the sheets were all bloodied. I'm where I'd been bleeding for that. Went downstairs. The chief of police was there. He arrested me, put me in cuffs, took me to jail. While I was waiting bail, guess what happened? Raped all over again. With a guard standing right there laughing. Abuse after abuse after abuse. I tried killing myself three times. Twice overdosing on drugs. And then once I stabbed myself in the stomach. I couldn't even do that right. Thank God. But you know, through all this, I don't weigh 150 pounds. I just thought to myself, there's no sense in fighting back. No sense in fighting back because I'm here and it's going to keep on going on for the rest of my life. Well, I was busted, went to jail, and stood before a judge. And I'll never forget his name, Judge Ornstein. He was called the hanging judge in Syracuse Superior Court. I was 19 then, and I just knew. I had three Class C felonies on me, which any of you who knows that, who knows what those are, that means a long time. At least back then, I don't know what it is today. That was 44 years ago. But the judge sent me to a psychiatrist. And, oh, my gosh. You want to talk about nuts. He was talking to me probably an hour. Finally, he said, "You hate your mother, don't you?" And in uncertain words, I said, boy, that took a real genius, didn't it? So went back to court. The judge said to me, Can you tell me how your evaluation was at the psychiatrist? I said, sir, can I be honest? He said, please do. I said, sir, he needs one worse than I do. Yes, well, I didn't care what I said back then. Well, the judge, where this came from, I have no idea except through the Holy Spirit. He was Jewish. My judge was Jewish. I didn't even know what a Jew was back then. And he called me up to the bench with my lawyer. He said, Mr. Williams, I think I want to do something for you. He said, for some reason, I think you can be good for society one day. He said, I'm going to give you a chance. I've never done this in my courtroom before. Don't make me regret it, because I'll never do it again. He said, I will send you to Acker State Prison today for 15 to 20 years, which 150-pound runt, I knew I'd just be someone's punk in prison. And he said, but I'm willing to give you 5 years probation, $40,000 fine for the damage I caused at the hospital, community service, at the school, and community service at the Upstate Medical Center in Syracuse, New York, which is called the Syracuse University Hospital today. And naturally, I took that. The only reason the fine was $40,000 is because the school had just laid brand new carpet throughout it, and I went up the third floor and pulled the water fountain out of the wall. Yeah, you would not believe how many kids thanked me because they got 3 days off of school. Talking to someone on Facebook one time a few years ago, are you the one that pulled the water faucet out of the school? And I said, that was me. So anyway, I took that, went to the Upstate Medical Center, and I want you to know that I wasn't even interested in women. Didn't care. But I walked into the coffee shop, the hospital, and I seen this girl. I thought, wow, she's cute. She's beautiful. And I asked her to go out with me, and she said yes. But guess what? Even when I was asking her, I was thinking, here comes that rejection all over again. She's going to say no. But she said yes. Woohoo! So we went out on a date, which really she had no business going out with me, because she was a Christian girl. I was the best heathen you've ever seen. And we went out on a date, and we were sitting in the car, and one night, that night, she just sat up in her seat, and she said, Gary, do you know that God loves you? I thought, whoa, where'd that come from? Now, let me back up a little bit. When I was homeless, people would walk up to me on the street and say, you need Jesus. And I'd say, what do I need your Jesus for? What's he doing for me? But when this girl said it, it didn't come from here. Come from here. I noticed the difference. And we talked for quite a while. And she had to go back to college in Virginia. And she made me promise her I'd go to the church. Well, lying was not, I didn't care whether I lied or not. But for some reason, I fell in love with this girl. And so I went to church every single Sunday. I loved it because I got on my bike, didn't have a car, got on my bike, rode up the road a mile, and went to this church. And it was great. Never heard Jesus preached. The pastor would get up in the pulpit, speak for a few minutes, and then we'd go down in the basement for coffee, donuts, and cigarettes. I felt right at home. But guess what? We talked every Sunday. Guess what I told her? I went to church today. Yeah. Well, it looked like a church. You know, kind of like yours over here. Looked like a church, so it had to be a church, right? Amen. But this day, October 21st, 1973, it was raining cats and dogs. I could hear the meowing, the bow-wowing out there. Man, it was coming down. Now, let me tell you something. October in Syracuse is like a January rain here. It is cold. I said, there ain't no way. There ain't no way. I'm getting on that bike, riding a mile up that road. But you know something? It kept on coming to me. You're going to be talking to her today. What are you going to say? What are you going to say when you talk to her? There's a Wesleyan church right across the street. We call them Holy Rollers. Yeah, I could hear them. They were a bunch of nuts. A bunch of nuts. I didn't want to go over there. But the Holy Spirit was working on me, which I did not know. He fooled me. Or maybe it was in his plan all along. So I got up, went across the street, sat down, and I got mad. I got mad. Because this guy, there just happened to be an evangelist there that day. Just happened to be. And I sat there and I thought, who is this man? He don't know me. But he's telling me everything about my life. Everything about my life. Well, I remember my girlfriend said to me one time that if you're ever in church and feel like going forward, I got to preach this side a little bit. If you ever feel like going forward to the altar, just go. I went. And knelt down. The pastor came up, knelt on my right side. He said, can I help you? I said, I don't know. I did. I don't know. And he said, what can I do? I said, I don't know. I don't know why I'm here. I didn't. I didn't know why I was there. The evangelist finished up. He came down, knelt on the left side. He said, can I help you? I said, I just saw this guy. I don't know. He said, I do. And he led me to Jesus. Now, I want to tell you something, folks. I want to tell you something. I was taking acid on a regular basis, smoking grass tree with coke on a regular basis. I was drinking a case of beer and a fifth of liquor a day. Okay, that was my regimen for 3 years. 3 years. But guess what? When I received the Lord in my life, all that left. Never craved another drug. Never craved another drink. Guess what else happened? The hatred left. Now I've got to tell you this. It took longer for me to forgive my mother. Longer to forgive her. And you know, it really, really wasn't that much long ago. I did. And I'm talking last year. You know, my wife has always tried, and my doctor always tried to get me to receive counseling. I was diagnosed with PTSD. Is that right? PTSD? Thank you. And so he wanted me to see a therapist. And I went, and I'll tell you what, it was wonderful. And one day, I was walking the track. Who knows I need to walk? I was walking the track. I was getting mad. My mother's face kept on coming before me. And I said, what in the world are you doing? You don't belong here. You don't belong in my mind. Get out of here. But guess what? The Lord spoke in my heart, and he said, hasn't it been long enough, Gary? I was able to forgive her. Now, let me tell you something about, let me tell you about her husband, John. There was her third husband, and he was the first man in my life that took interest in me. This was before I met my wife. I was working at a fast food restaurant, and I got real honest with John one day. I said, John, I'm trying to come out of this, but this one guy keeps on bothering me. He's at the restaurant when I close, and he's always there bothering me. And he said, okay. And I thought, well, that's that, you know. But guess what? That night I was closing. And that guy, his name was Lee, he was sitting in his car when I was coming out. Got out of his car. He said, come on, let's go. Well, guess what? John was in the Air Force at Hancock Air Force Base in Syracuse, New York, which is closed now, unfortunately. But he had to be at the work at 5 o'clock in the morning. And he was there that night at midnight. He was there at midnight. And guess what? He got out of his car. He said, Gary, is that the guy? I said, yeah, John, that's him. He walked up to him. He said, if you ever touch my son again, I'm going to kill you. Now, tell me what, let me tell you why that's important to me. He called me his son. He called me his son. I have no idea who my biological father is. Never even seen him. Don't even know what he looks like. I've seen his tombstone, but that's it. Of course, at this point, you say, well, God's my father. It's because I look just like him. I look just like him. That's right. Now, let me tell you. I have a brother that was gay, and he contracted AIDS, unfortunately. He died January of 92. My wife and I was on the way to see Joyce Myers in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Started sleeting. We got to about Statesville. And I said to her, I said, you know, we don't have a credit card, don't have much money, we better turn around. And I said to her, I'm going to call Ernie when I get home. I called Ernie, and he said, you know I have AIDS, don't you? I said, yes, I know, Mom told me. Guess what? He was one who said, you can take your Holy Spirit and go to you know where. Very bitter. Well, just like I was. But that night, he gave his heart to Jesus Christ on the phone. That night. Christmas of 91, my wife and I went out to see him. I went to see him. She has family in Sarasota, Florida. Left them there, and I drove to Miami. When I walked in his house, he was, he looked like one of these children starving in Africa. That's what he looked like. I wouldn't have even recognized him. But that evening, we were sitting on the sofa. His legs were over mine. He said, Gary, my legs hurt so bad. I said, well, Ernie, you're saved now. Let's pray about it. I laid my hands on his legs and I prayed. He got up the next morning and said, Gary, my legs didn't hurt all night. Now, do you know what that was? That was confirmation to me. Yes. And, as Paul Harvey says, let me tell you the rest of the story. Yeah. Oh, I'm just starting. No, I'm teasing. The Lord used me to lead my mother to the Lord. I want to say something else. This is the girl who witnessed to me Jesus Christ. Eva. This coming June, we will be married 42 wonderful years. And you know what I say? Give me 42 more. Now, let me tell you what I call my wife. I call her my northern star because the Holy Spirit has used her all these years to guide me. And wherever I go, she is lifted up because the Holy Spirit has used her. So how do you like that? Isn't that wonderful? And so I went from a drunk to a homosexual man to a saved man. to a saved man. And I wonder if there's anyone here who's been involved in this sin or may be involved in this sin. I know that for me, yes, I was healed, but the thought life takes a long time to get rid of. And this is one reason that I've been going to therapy, and it's working. So I just hope it doesn't work so good I can't preach no more, because I can't remember. But anyway, all heads bowed, eyes closed, please. Don't look around. This is a solemn moment. Holy Spirit wants to move this morning. Hallelujah. If there's anyone here, all eyes closed, this is solemn, who's been involved or is involved in any sexual sin, please raise your hand. I won't call you out. Thank you so much. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anyone here who has never known Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, please raise your hand. And is there anyone who is backslidden? You might go to church every Sunday, but it's not real to you anymore. Just going through the motions. Thank you so much. Thank you. I want to thank you for the honesty of these who have raised their hands. Now, I'm going to be up here to speak, but let's do this first. Repeat after me, everybody. Heavenly Father, I'm a sinner. And I pray in the name of Jesus, you accept me into your kingdom. Forgive me of all my sins. Help me, Jesus, to live for you for the rest of my days. I will do my best to serve you. Forgive me, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Anyone who prayed that prayer, either for salvation the first time or rededication, please come forward if you're bold enough. You know, before I finish, I've got to say this. I forgot. I've got to say this. I've had miracle after miracle in my life. A few years ago, I was diagnosed with a deadly disease. And a doctor told me that I have this for the rest of my life. Then I called my pastors. They anointed me with oil, and I was healed. The doctor said, this doesn't make sense. This doesn't make sense. I'm still healed. That was about 12 years ago. Let me tell you about another miracle. My wife and I could not have children. Doctor said because of the abuse I did in my body with drugs that I could not produce. And I was asked one time by the pastor, do you want to have children? I said, I don't care. Because you hear the abused becomes the abuser, which is a lie straight out of hell. Well, guess what? How many of you have heard of George Beverly Shea? Okay, you know, you watch Billy Graham as that guy, how great thou art, with real deep voice. I can't get that low. I bet you can. Yeah. And this lady, Marion Whitney, back in 1978, she knew nothing about us. George Beverly Shea had a brother, Alton Shea. His aunt, Miriam Whitney, was in that church we was in. Okay? And Alton Shea's wife would do chalk art. And Miriam said, do one for Gary and Eva. She knew nothing about us, nothing. And I was going to bring that with me today, but I forgot. But it's a picture, it's a portrait, it's about 36 by 36, a good size, of Eve and I watching Miriam walk up the stairway to heaven. Guess what? A girl and boy stand next to us. This was in 1978. Our daughter was born in 89, thank you. And then my son was born in 1991. So, therefore, God will perform miracles. Anyone sick in here? Is anyone sick? Come forward, lay hands on you. Well, thank you. Pastor, thank you so much for having me. This has been so great. You know, I was really nervous when I came in because I don't get to do this too often. But you know, I feel at home. I feel at home. And boy, that worship this morning, oh my gosh. That was awesome. And anyway, thank you. And y'all, if anyone wants, did I say y'all? Oh my God, really? Oh, boy, I used to say that. We're in the same age group. Anyone who's been through the sexual sin, if you want to talk to me afterwards, and if you'd rather do it later time, the pastor has my information, email address, phone number, okay? And I'm open to talking to anybody. Now, let me tell you, am I going over? Okay. Let me tell you something at the hospital. I've been a hospital chaplain for 26 years. The way this worked out was beautiful. I was a volunteer chaplain for 24 and a half years. I worked in furniture factories for 45 years, keep my family going, which I'm very proud of. Worked two jobs much of the time. My wife was able to stay home with the children for 10 years, which I'm very proud of that. And our children never went through that rebellious stage the way I did, thank God. I was always afraid one of them would take after me. Thank God they didn't. Thank God they didn't. But I lost my train of thought. Oh, thank you. I was at the hospital. Thank you. I sure am glad I brought her. And it was a few years ago, we was home at my daughter's birthday party. My wife got a little upset with me, which I don't blame her one bit. Hospital called. There was a man who wanted to kill himself and said, Gary, we have no one here. The on-call chaplain, we can't find him, which I was an on-call chaplain then too. But I worked only weekends. So I worked a full-time job. And so she said he doesn't have a pastor. How would you feel if someone told you I don't have a pastor? That'd break your heart. I went to the hospital. This man was dying of AIDS. And this has happened several times throughout the years. So he was dying of AIDS. And he told me about his life, how we got there and all. And I said to him, well, David, his name was David. I said, David, I want to tell you something, my brother. I used to be right where you are without the AIDS. Well, he got big old watermelon eyes. He started crying, and he gave his heart to Jesus. Now, let me tell you something about David. This was probably 7-8 years ago. It wasn't long ago. He went to a Lutheran church in Hickory, North Carolina. I seen his pastor at the hospital, and I said, how's David doing? He said, man, I don't know what happened to that boy. He's out on the streets preaching Jesus. People getting saved through his ministry. Now, that's not about Gary. That's about God Almighty. And so, after that happened, the nurse that was in the room with me, she walked up to me in the hallway and said, why do you do that? I'm going to preach to you. There you go. Why do you do that in disgust? And I said, young lady, are you saved? She said, yeah. And I said, I'll tell you what, I'd rethink that if I were you. I said, because what I told that boy and what Jesus Christ did in my life, if I've got to get on the ground and crawl like a snake, I'm going to do it. Because he hung on that cross for me. You know, it was just a couple years, well, maybe 3 years ago, I wanted to share this testimony in the denomination I was ordained in at the time. And one of the directors of the denomination said, no, it's too much of a hot potato right now. No. What if she would have said it was too much of a hot potato? I'd be burning hell today, I'm sure. And so I'm going to tell you what. They're not going to shut me up. They're not going to shut me up. But I belong to Jesus Christ, my master. And I thank him for that. Thank you, Jesus. I've gone way over, Pastor. I'm sorry. But, you know, being a hospital chaplain has given me so much opportunity. And you, I do most of my work in the psych floor. Go figure. Kind of fits me, you know. And there'll be times I'll just walk into the TV room, sit down at the table. All of a sudden, these people come around me. Tell me about yourself. And one day I did that. There were four gentlemen that came and sat down. I told them, all four of them gave their heart to Jesus Christ. All four of them. And this happens on a regular basis. You want to know why? I've been where they are. People want to hear that you know what's going on in their lives. I'll tell you what, you want to talk about nuts, I'm nuts. But I'm a nut for Jesus and for her. Hallelujah. So, well, thank you so much. I'm going to give it up for Pastor. Jeez, I feel like I'm in a bar now. No.